Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we get the view from the Clark County Commission, probably the most powerful board in the state. Ollie knows how.
Sam, today we have Commissioner Chris Giunchigliani, who's going to talk about everything from economic development to collective bargaining.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Clara Andreola, Howard Rosenberg, and Nancy Dallas. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
In the campaign for U.S. Senate, Sharon Angle is the best choice for conservative Republicans. Angle served four terms in the Nevada State Assembly, emerging as a conservative leader in the fight for lower taxes and less government spending. And that's why Sharon Angle has earned the support of the Nevada Republican Assembly, the Tea Party Express, Gun Owners of America, conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly, and many others.
Our country deserves better. PAC. TeaPartyExpress.org is responsible for the content of this ad.
Two championship courses, Nature's Beauty, and Life's Distractions, fading away.
The resort at Red Hawk, consistently voted top golf course in Northern Nevada.
Save energy and money. Take control at NVEnergy.com.
This segment brought to you by the law firm of Kempfer Kroll, with offices in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Chris Giunchigliani. She is a Clark County Commissioner, a former legislator, and is running for re-election. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Commissioner, good to see you again. Right now, the state and all local governments are dealing with some pretty dire financial issues. And a lot of those issues are trying to be solved around the collective bargaining process, negotiating with the public employees. And Clark County is actually in the midst of some of those negotiations with firefighters. During this election cycle as well, we've also seen this issue come up. Our governor, who is running for a re-election in the primary, has asked for an initiative petition to be circulated that we open up this collective bargaining process, make the negotiations open to the public. How do you feel about that?
I think that it's a distraction more than anything else. I think it's a political campaign trick, in my opinion, to try to promote an initiative on collective bargaining. It's not been a problem for anybody. It's been in state law for 42 years, put in by Carl Dodge, I believe, back in the mid-60s, a conservative rural Republican, but who understood that in the opportunity to try to equalize the balance between management and employees, collective bargaining was the best approach to go, because you equalize people at the table. I don't think collective bargaining is the problem that caused anything to do with the state budget shortfall, a lack of structure, the wrong tax scheme, people without the political will to do the right thing, dealing with a party of no. All of those components are far more worse than anything such as collective bargaining.
Now, in the Clark County Commission, I mean, it is a one-party system down there, so you don't have a home rule necessarily, but there are some things that you can do as a commissioner to kind of change that. And you are involved in the negotiating process with your public employees. How do you feel as a commissioner you can kind of change the problems that you're focusing on right now? And how would that be different than what you would do on a state level?
Good questions, Paul. I think it's the process works. It's in the process now. All of our groups are at the table or coming to the table. SEIU's contract's up, except longevity is off the table for them because that was the agreement that management met with them that we ratified last year when they gave up the 1%. You've got district attorneys, public defenders. You've got everybody coming to the table now, and that will work through the process in the long run, but we will have to be fiscally responsive. I think you'll see the message is let's be creative, let's be part of a solution, and I think that reaching out to employees to ask them to be part of something will cause them to be a little bit more innovative maybe in their proposals this time around. But I have to say, you know, people that want to be critical, they all voted for it. And so it's kind of, you know, hindsight, should they approve certain contracts? They did, and that's the way it goes. And that was done by, if you're implying, because right now it happens to be 7 Democrats, I don't think that we don't ever deal with a political issue in that way, at least so far in my 3.5 years. And in previous times it was Republican, it was Republican and Democrat. I don't think that's an issue at all. I think the real issue comes down to we are in dire straits in this community. We are dire straits in the state of Nevada. We have always budgeted on a shoestring. We have a very lousy structural problem within our tax rates, and we need to step up to the table, set the politics aside, set the rhetoric aside, set trying to govern by initiative aside, and actually sit down and figure out what do we fundamentally need to do to make the changes. I've been here 31 years. I love this community. I love this state. But it frightens me to think of what will happen next session if we don't step up to the plate, set the political rhetoric aside, and start roll up our sleeves and get some business done. That's what the public expects, even if they don't agree. It's this nattering negativism that I think turns them off more than anything else. And, you know, $3.5 billion, possibly, that's half the state budget.
You're the last person. You're the last person I would expect to put an Agnew quote out there. But, you know, one of the issues that is being dealt with right now is pay with the firefighters. In the city, they just negotiated a $2.7 million reduction in firefighter pay. They wanted $8.8 million. People are saying that now puts the county at a disadvantage in its negotiation with the firefighters. Do you agree with that?
Mm. No, I don't at all. Each group is independent. I'm sure they consult with each other on ideas. Management always puts out a high figure. The employees underbid. So, you know, it's always that coming together. That's the whole point of collective. I believe our employees, from firefighters to DAs to SEIU, will step to the plate, come up with a creative bargaining proposal. I think that they will look at ways to save not only concessions, but also look at how we can be more efficient. And I call on them, and that's a challenge, and I think that they will rise to that challenge. We shouldn't approach this in fear. We should approach this where both parties walk away from a table feeling a win-win, and that means you've done a good job for the consumers and for the taxpayers.
You say that the state has the wrong tax scheme. What do you mean by that, and what would you rather see in its place?
Everybody's been talking since I even served in the legislature of a broad-based business tax. Well, let's get down to that. I do think that we probably should look at our sales tax. It's too high. We should commensurately lower it, but then broaden what we tax for sales. But then you should decrease it from the 8%. That is regressive. It hits your middle income, your senior citizens, people on a fixed income far more so. And so it's a discretionary-based tax. It was found back in the Pricewaterhouse studies back in 83, 85, 87. I still have it on my shelf, that we needed to broaden the base. We've allowed too many exemptions on sales, and then you have a narrower group paying it, plus it's too high, so it inadvertently affects your low-income folks, middle-income and low-income. What we really need to do is make all businesses pay equally. Yes, that includes mining. We need to stop feeing people to death. If it's going to cost X, then charge X. I think even any business will tell you that by us doing all this cobbled together tax base, we cause even small businesses more having to hire more people just to account for it. And that should not be the intent. It should be easy to administer, it should be easy to collect, and it should be easy to explain to the consumer on what they're paying.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Chris G when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10,000.com.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This segment brought to you by Kempfer Kroll, the law firm to handle your business needs. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Christian Kiliani, Clark County Commissioner, looking for re-election. You were talking about mining and bringing mining to the table. They've already said that they're willing to come to the table. But are you in favor of changing their taxation system from net proceeds to gross proceeds? Because that would hurt a lot of the smaller miners. Not the gold miners so much, but the smaller miners.
Yes, I think it's the time. Marvin Sedway first initiated this conversation back in 87, and it's been that many years that we've not had them come to the table. I think that they said that they would come some with some form of a structure, but that should still be the politician's decision on how to implement that kind of a tax structure so that it's fair and equitable, doesn't hurt folks, but recognize this is a product that is taken out of our land that will never be returned, and it's a lot. You can even stockpile different things, not just gold, different items, until the prices go up. So that's always at their base. And finally, and most importantly, many of these companies are not Nevada-based companies, so it's time to stop all the rhetoric and bring them to the table, and along with all the other businesses that aren't paying their fair share. You know that we've looked at that off and on for years in the legislature. It's time to do something about it. Talk is cheap.
Well, but my point is, do you support doing it through the legislative process or through the initiative petition process?
It hasn't worked through the legislative process, so I think that they need to hear from the voters as to that it's a place that they need to go, and maybe it'll help someone have some fortitude.
Commissioner, one of the issues is exporting of dollars. Those rural communities that currently have mining, they don't depend on a lot of support from Clark County, from Washoe County. If we don't have a vibrant economy in those areas, would you support exporting dollars out of Clark County into those rural communities?
We're already exporting, but I think you're alluding to like Eureka County, which relies heavily on the mining component and therefore does not need funding for the distributive school account, for example. That said, all of this should be on the table as far as how do you structurally make it work for businesses as well as the consumers. However, with no disrespect, Paul, some of these communities should be consolidated. Some of these people need to start coming to the table and doing business differently. That's a hard thing for people to discuss. Years ago, I recommended that we should be consolidating some of our rural school districts, still giving them a voice, still bringing people from a variety of areas to sit at the table. But in the long run, to deliver a quality program, sometimes you have to do it through shared governance. And it's time that we talk about that, not just as the tax base, but how do you deliver a service for the people that are choosing to live in those rural areas?
Let me change topics here. There was a recent Sonoran report talking about the future of Las Vegas and growth. What were your thoughts on that? What was your takeaway?
I thought it was a wonderfully refreshing viewpoint. It verified some of what my thoughts were. I think what I heard from my constituents, as well as what the Progressive Leadership Alliance, who commissioned that study, had thought about the thing. The other did. We also hired UNLV through our Regional Planning Commission, and we had them do a quality of community review. And so those two documents are very compatible, and I think it'll help us in our planning for our zoning. It'll help us plan for our community. I think it's time that we recognize that there's life after growth, but what do we want to be after growth? And how can we better it so that people, the report said close to 40% of Nevadans or Southern Nevadans didn't want to live here anymore. I want them to want to live here. I want the quality of life to be better. So we have to look how we build a neighborhood one community at a time. And so that's part of what both the Sonoran and the UNLV study, I think, has given us some guidelines. And we actually, I have an agenda item that came before the commission. We're forming a work group made up of architects, landscape architects, engineers from the private sector to work on our building codes. There's another agenda item that I asked for our regional planning for a workforce made up of private folks that are interested in really growing our community and making it more livable and sustainable. So I think we didn't put those on the shelf, I'm glad to say.
But you don't see that Las Vegas will ever go back to the kind of growth that it's seen over the last 20 years?
No, I don't. I think we will. We are going to grow again, and I think we will. We're going to be recovering a little bit slower still than the rest of the United States, and that's because we were so heavily dependent on tourism, and that's a discretionary use of your dollars, and because people are hurting at other places, there's job market issues, there's salary and wage issues, you're going to see less spending. Our numbers are starting to come back up, but the dollar amount hasn't. I think in 5 to 10 years, you will see the growth coming to some extent, but it will not be what it was, nor probably should it be, because we didn't plan accordingly, we didn't have the infrastructure in place, and we bet on the come, and now we're seeing the problems with that. So to me, this is an opportunity for Vegas to reinvent itself once again, to say, what do we want to be to the next 10 years? I think we should be promoting our tourism across the state, from Wheeler Peak to Tahoe to Red Rock to Gold Butte, which we're hopefully going to protect. That ecotourism could be the next market that we have there. Eco-medicine, we're told, is another, medical tourism is another component that we could be taking a look at. And then in the green energy, it will not create the same volume of jobs, but they will be long-term career jobs. For many of our construction workers in the retraining component, that's another opportunity. But we have to recognize that we only can do so much with so little. And if we don't really build a sustainable community, then shame on us.
And that's where we have to leave it. Never enough time. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, Chris. Thanks so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Your AT&T high-speed internet at home here.
And the wireless you know you love right here.
Together with some really great news.
Yeah, a smoking hot offer. I mean H-O-T hot.
Dare we say.
An offer so unreal.
You're going to have to pinch me.
You're not dreaming.
It's an unreal deal.
From the company with the best coverage worldwide.
Get AT&T high-speed internet at home
for just $19.95 a month. And now no home phone service required.
Get the speed you need at a price you can afford with Wi-Fi included.
Call now.
To get reliable AT&T high-speed internet.
When wireless is the only phone you need.
It's an unreal deal.
Get AT&T high-speed internet at home for just $19.95 a month. And great news, now no home phone service required. So why wait?
Nobody else offers choices like that.
And that's AT&T's everyday low price, not an introductory price.
You got it.
Dude, we rock.
Well, I'm out of here, but I'll be back.
And I'll be here at home, online, all the time.
Call today to get this unreal deal. That is, if you're real. AT&T, your world delivered.
Attention computer shoppers with past credit problems. If you've had past credit problems and want to make a change, call now. All you need is an active checking account and you're approved for our program. Bankruptcy, liens, divorce, or job loss, it doesn't matter. You're approved. We'll get you that new computer you always wanted and report on your credit so you can start to get it back on track. Call now and with your paid order, we'll add a free color printer, free MP3 music player, and a free LCD TV. You heard right. Free printer, free MP3 player, and a free LCD TV. Call now and tell us where you want your brand new computer and free gift shipped today.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Howard Rosenberg is here, the ever-shy Howard Rosenberg, a UNR professor. Nancy Dallas joins us for the first time. Great to have you on the program. We appreciate it. She's the editor of Newsdesk by NancyDallas.com. And Clara Andreola, president and CEO of the Associated Builders and Contractors. So we've been hearing about this visioning committee since the last legislative session, and now they've come out with their initial report, according to Ed Vogel of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And to be quite honest with you, I think some of the stuff in here is pretty wacky.
I'm glad you think that, Sam.
One thing that makes sense is the interstate highway between Phoenix and Las Vegas. But one of the things that just sounds insane to me is having high-speed rail between Reno and Las Vegas. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, they've been talking about having high-speed rail in Las Vegas. In fact, there's one proposal that's been on the books that goes to a special destination. Victorville?
Victorville. That's the initial part.
So, you know, that will make
sense,
though.
That's the Desert Express.
Right, but still, I mean, I think any type of transportation infrastructure that's going to push people, if you will, to try and get tourism going is efficient. Is that the answer? I'm not sure.
One of the things about this report is that it doesn't put in anything about how to pay for anything.
No, but as far as high-speed rail service between here and Las Vegas, I think it'd be great if you didn't have to go through security to get onto it in the first place. I mean, and I don't know what you mean by high-speed rail service, and as far as costs go, if there's no mention of costs, it might be a very unrealistic thing. But high-speed rail service between here and Las Vegas, to me, it would be a very fine way to travel.
Well, the only thing is, why would you pay for that when we have Southwest Airlines and other airlines that are going between Reno and Las Vegas at a very affordable rate?
Have you flown recently?
Yes, last week.
Really? And you're asking that question. Are you drinking? What's wrong with you?
But why would you invest billions of dollars of taxpayers' money at a time in the state when we're looking at a recovery that might be 5 years in the making?
Because it's between two of the biggest hubs. That's number one. Number two, that means that maybe there'll be a train to bring them in from outside. Then they could come to Reno for a couple of days, go to Las Vegas for 3 days, and everybody wins.
The reality is when you look at rail, especially passenger rail, the cost of actually putting those rails down, it never pencils out. You never get that return on investment. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever. You know, you look at the high-speed rail they put in Portland. I went to a lunch last week at NPRI where they were talking about high-speed rail, a gentleman named Randall O'Toole. And he's talking about the Portland high-speed, they call it the MAX, the high-speed train that goes through Portland. Mm-hmm. And that thing is so empty. A coyote will go onto the train. The high-speed rail rarely, if ever, pencils out. It requires massive government subsidies, and the cost for you and I to ride it would be more prohibitive than getting on a one-and-get-away fare on Southwest.
All right, now, they make it work in Europe. How do they make it work there and we can't?
I don't know that it works in Europe. I don't know. I don't know that it does pencil out in Europe.
It probably doesn't pencil out as such. But how much money are we losing by not bringing people in the first place?
Well, I think if you want to look at something that's efficient, and there's one that he brought up a whole number of suggestions.
Yeah.
And one of them was driverless cars. You know, how driverless cars, you could increase highway capacity fourfold if you had that. But I think we're kind of getting away from some of the vision stakeholders group. I mean, this high-speed train between Reno and Vegas, that's actually a worse idea than a high-speed train or a light rail system up and down Virginia Street, which we're talking about. Rail doesn't pencil out.
You know, one of
what does?
Cars.
Excuse
cars
me?
Cars do.
Cars pencil out.
Absolutely.
Have you been to the gas station to buy gas lately?
I have,
Who
Howard.
Who gets penciled?
But when you look at it, the highways are paid for by the people that use them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there is, you know, when you look at what the actual personal cost is of me driving compared to the government subsidy, it is minuscule. You look at rail, it is exponentially more costly for rail than it is for cars. Well, exponentially.
Well, on this rail, is this intended for business type travel, or strictly is this a tourism presentation?
Well, they're just saying that this is something that they want to bring greater diversity to the economy in the state of Nevada, and this is we're harping on this. We'll talk about all other areas as they release them. But this is just one thing that they say that we need in terms of economic diversification, that we're still continuing to rely on.
Yeah, if they would have come and said, hey, we need to build some power plants here, I would be all over it. I would say, gosh, this Vision Stakeholders Group, what a great idea. They want to build power plants. They want to do something that will actually attract business and industry here, but that's not what they did.
But, okay, hang on a second. But Clara, you know, the idea of them coming out with this without coming out with a way to pay for it, I mean, what's this all about?
Well, I'm not sure, and I think the whole fact of the transparency issue that's been the cloud surrounding the Vision Stakeholders Group, with some of the meetings, I'm not sure. But I can just tell you, no matter whether it pencils out or doesn't pencil out, somebody has to pay for it. Having plants here is certainly a viable option, that maybe it's on their plate, and we'll see that. But no matter what, I hope that it's free enterprise and open competition, so the construction folks that I serve every day have an opportunity to work on those projects.
Okay, Nancy, you get the last word on this.
You've brought up some very good points, and I am not familiar with all of their ideas that they have brought out. But a high-speed rail, and I'm taking out all consideration of the economic reality or benefits of it, or if it can pay for itself. I really like the thought of a high-speed rail between here and Las Vegas. I really do. And I don't know what route they would have in their minds to do this, but you could certainly bring in other parts of this state into the economic benefits of such a rail system.
That's where we got to leave it. We thank you all. Thoughtful discussion. Lots more on this to come. We'll be right back in Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
On the next Face to Face, we'll go behind the day's political headlines and check out your feedback. We've got plenty of comments on our interview with Jim Gibbons' friend, the other woman, Kathy Koresh. That's on the next Face to Face.
In Nevada, 6 out of 10 people who apply for Social Security disability benefits are denied. If you cannot work because of a permanent disability or illness and have been denied, call us. Because we're here in Nevada, we'll meet with you personally and find a doctor for your claim. At Shook and Stone, we'll guide you through the Social Security process and get you the money you deserve. Shook and Stone, make the law work for you. Call us.
Even the cleanest homes have a dirty secret.
Look down here.
See all this? As soon as your heater or air conditioner comes on, all this is going to end up right back in the house. And you don't want that.
Recent studies suggest that indoor air pollution is responsible for over half of all illnesses. With a thorough cleaning using the patented Ram Air system, the air you breathe will be free from dust, allergens, and irritants that can cause respiratory problems. Call us today for a quote and start breathing cleaner air tomorrow.
In the olden days, our grandparents, they would bring a chicken to the doctor.
I don't know how the docs would feel about me bringing a chicken to the doctor's office, right?
Can this doctor take this chicken to a gas station, to a grocery store?
I think it's a little out of touch.
Totally fantasy land.
Can he pay his mortgage with it?
No, I don't think so.
Sounds like a joke.
She is divorced from the reality that most people live.
Patriot Majority is responsible for the content of this advertising.
News 4's exclusive SkyCam network, keeping an eye on Northern Nevada. Before the other crews get to the scene, News 4 has you covered for breaking news, weather, and traffic conditions. Plan your day with News 4's exclusive SkyCam network.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Tomorrow, Sam, we're going to have United States Senate Republican primary candidate Bill Parson.
We'll see you then.